This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me
Lorraine Holtham.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Lorraine, you were telling me you were born in Palmerston North in 1935.
That's correct, at the Palmerston North Hospital, public hospital.
Okay. Was that like it is now? It's a great big hospital?
No, not at all. It's had many, many wings added onto it since that time. Yes. My oldest sister was also born in Palmerston North, but she was born in a private hospital in Albert Street, which was called Wiltshire. It's no longer there. It was a big old house, but it's not there. But the rest of us were all born at the public hospital.
So were there many hospital or maternity homes or anything?
Well, it was a maternity home, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, there was no other that I know of, that I can remember. No. There was Wiltshire, which, as I said, is no longer there. As a hospital, no.
Okay.
There weren't any.
So
in later years, yes.
Okay, yeah. And then you lived in
Albert Street.
Yeah. Now you say up towards Featherston Street.
Featherston Street, actually opposite Rangitani Street. Rangitani Street went from Albert Street along and then did a left turn and came out into Grey Street.
Okay, yeah.
So it's still there.
Yeah. But it was largely developed at that time, Albert
All
Street.
All that was, yes. Some of the houses in Albert Street I have gone along and had a look just for old time's sake. A lot of them are still there. Some have gone. There was... I'm forgetting.
That's all right. The one you were born in, is that still there?
Yes, and that's right. And the strange thing is that after the war, when the men came back, the government bought in the state housing business. So state houses were starting to be developed. Say that again, what you were just saying.
The house that you were, when you were born, it is still there.
Yes, but when they bought in the state housing, you could have whatever you lived in, which we only, my parents rented that house. We didn't own it.
Okay.
It was a very old house and...
That was a state rental or a private rental?
No, it was privately owned. It was full of borer and was probably condemned. So my parents put their name down to get a state house when it became available. Another thing about this old house that we lived in, the house next door to us had horse trotting stables at the back of it, and the man was a trainer for trotters, and he had the stable. My father thought that was great because he'd go and get the horse droppings and use them for manure for the garden. Yeah.
So Albert Street was developed, but behind the houses there was open fields?
No. The next street over was Heratonga Street.
Yeah.
So houses backed onto each other like they do now.
So how did he manage with the horses?
I don't know, because it was quite a big area, and he would have had... I mean, I was only quite small then.
Yeah.
He would have had... three or four horses, I suspect. Okay. He also had the sulkies there at that time. The sulkies. The
sulkies.
A sulky is what the trotters, they still use.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, the two wheels, that's it.
The
thing they use for racing.
He had those there, and they were all behind his house. He used to take out a trotter with... on the sulky, and go off up Albert Street to wherever. At that time, there used to be a milkman would come around. He had a truck or a car, can't really quite recall. But if you wanted milk, you took a billy can out to the road and he would fill your billy can up with milk.
Okay.
There was also a bread delivery. They would deliver the bread. This was all before milk bottles came in the glass bottles.
Yeah.
They would do that.
Vegetables as well? Fruit and veg?
No, everybody grew their own. My father had a magnificent garden.
Okay. So these were all sort of quarter acre sections, were they?
Well, they were quite big sections. And yet, I don't know that they were quarter acre, but they might have been. They might have been. A few years ago, my older sister and I went along Albert Street just to see what the old house, which was still there, supposedly condemned before we got this, and it's still there today. We went along there to have a look, and there were alterations going on to the house. And because nobody was living in it, we went to have a look. So we walked around the side of the house, and I said to my sister, we used to think this backyard that where Dad had his garden was absolutely huge. Yes. And it, to our mind today, you know, it was really practically nothing.
My daughter said exactly the same thing in the house. She grew up thinking it was quite large. And
yes, well, we did. Different. You know, the backyard and Dad had one half was nearly all garden. There was a fairly wide strip of lawn. On the other side was also vegetable garden. And I said in the middle was a grass verge which had Mum's clothesline, which in those days was you know, the big post in the ground and then the long lines, and you had the prop to prop the line up. So that was like that. The outside, we had an outside toilet which was dreadful. It was like a long shed, and so there was a toilet at one end. In the middle was like a shed. There was also a copper and tubs in there. My mother had to...
Oh, that was the laundry, was it?
That was the laundry. Place. And so on the other end was a very small room that had a bath in it. However, at some time the house got sold and the new owner was a very timid little man. And my oldest sister bowed him up one day and said to him, you know, we ought to have an inside bathroom. So he built one on. And in the bathroom we had a toilet. Bliss, that was. We had a toilet and a bath. No hand basin, but we had a bath. So the next thing after...
So how did you wash your hands then? Just in the bath?
We had a sink. In the kitchen there was a little scullery, very small, with a gas ring in it. I could remember Mum doing our porridge on the gas ring. And after it was built, she bailed him up and said, well, it really needs painting. If you bring the paint round, I'll paint it. Although my father was he was good at doing things like that too. But anyway, my sister did it, and he brought round the paint, which was a bilious lime green. But she painted all the walls with it. She did it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we thought that this inside toilet was just the last word. When eventually my parents did get a state house, we thought it was a palace. We had this four-bedroomed home instead of just a four-roomed house. We had a four-bedroomed house all the mod cons, and yes, we thought it was absolutely wonderful.
Okay, now you just said that it was a four-roomed house. There was the outside toilet. Now, when you said an outside toilet in a long shed, was it a normal flush toilet?
No, you had to pull the chain.
Okay, you pull the chain, but it was a water closet-type toilet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now, when you say outside, was it a long walk from the house to the...
No, it wasn't very far at all.
Sorry.
But it was the fact that it was outside, and in the wintertime, it wasn't funny.
It would be cold. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So, but then you said it was a four-room house.
Yes, a four-roomed house with a veranda along the front.
Okay. Was it built for the sun? Did you catch the sun?
I can't remember that. Okay. I can't remember. I know in the kitchen there was a coal range. That was the only cooking there was. So, yeah. Of course, the state house with an electric stove was wonderful for our mother.
Now, when was it that you moved into the state house then?
I would have been in my first year at high school, which was Palmerston North Technical High School, now UCOL.
Yes. So it was sometime shortly after the war, a few years after the war.
Yes, it was. Just can't think. The first state houses, I think, are the ones that were built down at Savage Crescent.
Yes, that's right.
In so that area.
That's very prominent.
So, and then the next lot would be what they class as Roslyn.
Yeah.
The next lot were up there, and they didn't go. They didn't go that side of Vogel Street. The town side was all developed, and a lot of state houses, all in the whole area. It was a huge area done, but the other side there was a market garden almost opposite where we lived. On the Vogel Street one, because we were two houses in from Vogel Street.
So you moved down over towards Vogel Street, basically. Then.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Now, when there were, you were in a four room house, and how many of you were there?
There were eight of us.
Eight. So your parents and six children.
And six children.
So how did they all fit into a four-room house?
Well, there was Mavis. Four of us were in one bedroom. And the other bedroom must have been the other two. But I'm trying to think. My brother is the youngest in the family, and I can remember my father actually made a bed for him, which was probably just like a big cot.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a cot, but, you know, it was a bed.
Yeah.
My father worked for the council, the city council, and it was, you know, money was very short. Very short, but everybody was in the same boat.
Well, if there were six children, And did your mother work as well?
She went out and was doing, in private houses.
Oh, cleaning.
She would do so many hours and so on. And it was what her income really that helped furnish the state house when we actually got into it.
Hmm.
We weren't in the state house very long when the oldest sister got married.
Hmm. So there were six of you. So where were you in the...
I'm number three.
Number three. Mm. Okay, yeah.
I'm now the oldest. The two older sisters have both passed away.
Okay, yeah. Mm. So while you... There were four in one bedroom, two in the other. And where did your parents sleep?
Well, they converted what was the lounge, they had converted that to their bedroom.
Okay.
They used that for their bedroom. And then at one stage, the man that owned the house built half the veranda and closed it, my conservatory there, which was outside where my parents were sleeping. It had a door that went out onto the veranda.
Mm.
But other than that, I would go through the window into my bedroom, into my parents' bedroom, rather.
Oh, yeah.
I'd climb through the window. Yes. And, of course, the man that owned it was no builder anyway and hadn't done any flashing on the roof of this thing, because that's where I was going to sleep.
Okay.
And I thought it was lovely, and it was in the summertime. But when it rained, of course, the rain just ran down the wall inside. I think that has now been removed. It's not there, I don't think, the last time I went past the house.
Yeah.
But the house is still there.
Okay.
So was
it built of native timber, do you know?
Well, it was timber.
Yeah.
It was timber.
Because I think what they found was a lot of the early houses that they thought would have about a 50-year life Because they were built out of native timber, after 50 years they looked, and the timbers themselves were as solid as ever. So they thought, just
well,
carry
this
on.
Was this had a lot of borer in it because the passageway had, was it linoleum up so far? That's, and then it had wallpaper to the top.
The first meter would be linoleum.
Up to there. Yeah. And then there was the paper. But when the paper came down, there was scrim underneath it.
Ah, yes. So it was wooden walls with scrim hanging
That's
down
right.
and the wallpaper on top.
That's right. Yeah. And
the linoleum would have chart-proofed the walls, though, wouldn't
probably,
it?
Probably. I can't. Yeah. I only remember it being dark. It was a dark,
very
whatever.
High ceilings?
Yes, they were. But the dad must have done some repapering, because when the scrim came down and he was saying, look at the walls, you know, and they were all full of borer boards behind it.
Yeah.
Yes, they were high ceilings. They would have been possibly a 12-foot stud. That sounds a bit high, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it was more than eight.
There were some very
far
high
more
ones
than
at
eight.
One stage. Well, if you had, what was it, wood-fired, coal-fired?
These would be about an eight, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Yes, so it would be much, much higher than this. Might have been 10, but it might have been 12.
Yes, So was it, did that make it fairly cool in summer, but cold in winter, or is it?
Well, it never ever seemed to be warm enough. I said, the only cooking was the coal range that my mother
and
had to cook.
You
used
coal, not wood.
Well, you could put both in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she cooked where she used coal normally.
No.
Oh, you don't know.
No. Oh. In there was a little scullery by the back door, and a very short bench. It wouldn't be as long as the benches are today.
Mm-hmm.
And she had at one end of that a single gas ring, because if it was a one pot thing like the porridge in the morning, that's what she cooked it on.
So how was the house heated?
To my memory, there was only the coal range that was in the kitchen, which was for heating, and my mother cooked on it and in it, in the oven, big ugly old thing it was, and we were never allowed to go too near it in case, you know, we got burnt, but there were no electric heaters. We didn't have any electric heaters at all.
And you had a gas burner, so did you have...
There was just a single gas ring in a scullery by the back door. There was, as you came in the back door, there was a very short bench with a basin in it, sink bench, where the dishes were washed. I can't recall there being any cupboards, although under the sink, I think there were three bins, and you pulled them out. They swiveled at the bottom, and you pulled them out. There was three, and I can remember my mother kept the flour in one. I can't remember what was in the other two, but they were there. But I can't. There must have been one or two cupboards in that little scullery. It was very, very small.
Yeah,
very small room.
And there's no fridge.
No. No, they never had a fridge. They had I think was an outdoor safe.
Yeah.
With
the mesh on and
Yes. Mm. Although, you know, in those days my mother would get fresh bread probably every day. She didn't make bread.
Yeah.
But she would get fresh bread every day, you'd get milk every day.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, because we lived between Grey Street and Featherston Street, at Featherston Street end there was a shop on each corner. Both of them were dairy types, although one also carried groceries. At the other end, at Grey Street, there was a Chinese grocery shop which also had the greengrocer, you know, if you wanted anything like that, which we hardly ever did because Dad had such a big garden.
Yeah. So you preserve a lot of things as well?
My mother preserved everything. She would salt down beans, runner beans.
Salt down.
She would salt them. She would do them with salt, preserve them with salt. Yeah. I don't know
what,
how.
Sort of in brine or in water as well, or they were just.
They probably dry. Were. I don't know how she did it. As I became an adult, preserving wasn't anything that I liked to do, not at all. So I was quite happy to have a freezer, things, you know, but she didn't. She never had a freezer. All her life she never had a freezer. Yes, so she would preserve, she would make jam. Our meals consisted of soup. The main meal, which was meat and two vegetables, because this was after the war and everything was, you know, you had to be very careful with things still. And we always had a dessert. We always had a pudding.
Okay.
And she would make sometimes plum pudding, sometimes it was fruit with junket or custard.
Junket?
Junket is a... I don't know whether you can make it now. But you got a, you made it, it was a milk pudding, but it was cold, almost like a cold milk jelly.
Okay.
That's what it was. And you could buy rennet, I think it was called, which was the setting agent that you put in it.
Okay.
So we would, there was always that, always. And in between, you know, we could have, we never had an apple tree. Dad had more... veggies and anything, but neighbours, there was especially one that was near to Grey Street, had a huge plum tree, and we would get, the neighbours would give fruit, no problem. They also had eggs. My mother used to buy fresh eggs from this lady. Also in the street a little bit further up, there used to be a soft drink factory. People by the name of Adler's had I wonder what happened to, and on in our half between Grey Street and Featherston Street there was a almost at Grey Street there was a house that used to make ice cream Byers ice cream it was, and it was beautiful. And in those days you could get a tiny little cone, so you could go in there and buy a penny ice cream. For a penny. But it was, so that was a treat we were allowed to have now and again.
So whereas these days you buy a 2 litre container.
That's right. That's right.
It's what struck me as well, so much of the things that were special treats occasionally when we were young are just normal things that you have in large quantities now, which probably isn't so good. But even when you were describing the desserts, they're the same for my childhood, but just not as rich as the desserts are now. Now they're sort of loaded with sugar. And
well, there was always fruit. There was always, there was always fruit. So, but we grew rhubarb, and so Mum would make a rhubarb dessert. She would make apple crumble, she would make with apples. We had a lot of apples, apple desserts of various sorts, jellies, nearly always there'd be a jelly, but the meal always started with a soup.
And even in summer you'd
well, I'm trying to think, because we had a lot of salads in the summer, so I don't suppose we had them then, but we did have, and on the other hand, we were very rarely sick. You know, hardly ever. I used to get bronchitis as a child, and which was very frightening. I was about 10, I think, when I had my tonsils taken out again at the public hospital. So I sort of grew out of that.
So did you have all the chicken pox and measles? And
Yes, we did. It went through the family. We all had it. Mumps. I had mumps. I had yellow jaundice, although I think that I was the only one in the family that got yellow jaundice.
Was that when you were very young? Or
I think I was at primary school.
Okay.
But well, we were all quite young when we had these
all
things.
Those things.
Yes.
Okay. So you had now. Let's. I'm not sure if we've covered it. Your children. All the children were in two bedrooms. The living room was made into a bedroom for your parents, and the kitchen, which was still quite large, was it?
All the rooms were quite large. They were all quite big. Bigger than, you know, what I've got here.
Okay.
They were big rooms.
So that became the family room, kitchen, dining room.
That's right. If we had to do our homework, we would have to sit at the kitchen table to do it. And my mother had... she got a Singer sewing machine, a treadle, which I have now got. And that was at the end of the table. It was had a cover on it, and we were not allowed to touch it. Couldn't touch it. She taught us all to sew.
So to sew by hand, but not with the machine, you mean?
Well, we learned at school to sew hand and to do fancy stitches and embroidery. We did learn that at school. Also learned to knit at school, which I was hopeless at. But my mother taught us how to use her machine, and she'd almost stand over us while she was watching us to see that we didn't do anything wrong to this precious machine, which it was, because she made all our clothes. She was no knitter, but she made all our clothes, even my brother's up to the age of about five, I suppose, and then she bought his things, but
Those old treadle machines were very solid, weren't they? To be
hard to break them. There's a spare belt, the leather belt that binds it. That's with it as well. It's a, in an oak casing. You know, the thing is oak.
Those were nice. So you went to school
at Terrace End.
Terrace End School.
We all did. Yes.
And what was that like?
I liked school. I liked it very much, and I can remember how they taught us to write. You know, to actually to join the letters up. They don't seem to do that anymore, but anyway, I can remember that. We were taught the alphabet, which I think I already knew because I always liked to read. And I wasn't very old, I think, when I was allowed to join the library here in town. Anyway, I can remember I must have been sick. As I said, I used to get bronchitis attacks when I was quite small. And I must have missed 2 days of school. And when I went back, what they were putting on the blackboard was something that I didn't know. It didn't take me long to pick it up, but, you know, I was a bit upset about it. They also had a school dentist nurse.
Dental nurse,
who was the terror of every child that went to school, was absolutely terrified. And she was a very nice lady, really. But she didn't stand any nonsense if you had to go and see her, you know. It was really, really frightening.
But it was quite painful, was it?
Yes, it was.
Slow drills. And they were very keen to drill holes and give fillings and things, or they just
The fillings, that's right. So, you know, didn't like that at all. I had an older sister that was a bit of a pimp. She, I had to, was supposed to go, say, on a Tuesday morning or something, I was supposed to go to the dentist at 9 o'clock. And I was totally terrified. And so my father very obligingly wrote a note for when I went back on the Wednesday to say that I hadn't been at school because I had a bilious attack. I don't even know what a bilious attack is.
So he was trying to protect you.
Oh, yes, but that was his standard excuse. Not that we were allowed to go off school very often at all. Usually it was because we were sick, you know, if we were sick. But however, this older sister of mine had said that I wasn't at school that day, really, because I was didn't want to go to the dentist. So when I did go back to school, I still had to go to the dentist anyway. When we were at school, I missed I missed standard one. This particular sister, her birthday was in June, mine was in July, and being in the middle of the year, somewhere along the line, I overtook her. So I went from Primer 4 to Standard 2 at Intermediate. Oh. No, that's not right. How did I do it? I missed a year. I went from, must have been from Primer 3.
Was it in a change of school?
From Primer 3 to Standard 1. That was from Terrascend to Intermediate.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So when we got to Intermediate, I was in the top class and she was in the bottom class. And I have never forgotten this all my life. I was not allowed to go to bed at night until I had done my homework and hers as well.
Yes? Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it the same sister who told the school about the
That's
dentist?
That's right, the same sister. She was a big sook. She was a big pimp. She was a pain as we were growing up. Yeah. And I shouldn't say anything about her because she's been passed away now for some 20 years. But, I mean, as we grew and were adults, I quite liked her. But as children, I didn't like her at all.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website. And a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.